This is the Andy George Leadership Podcast. This is a podcast that is all about helping you to reach your potential, to define your purpose, and to live with passion. I'm Andy George, your host, and I'm so thankful that you took the time out of your day to listen to this podcast. And if you are listening right now and you've not yet subscribed, make sure you subscribe to the podcast, as well as going on over to our YouTube channel, Andy George Leadership. You can subscribe over there as well, or you can visit andygeorgecoaching.com for more information. Now listen, this is an extra bonus podcast that you are going to thoroughly enjoy. With the Super Bowl coming up this weekend, we are doing a very special Super Bowl podcast special. And I brought in a very special guest. My guest today is Pat Teague, and Pat's a local Raleigh guy who played football at Sanderson High School, played at NC State High College, and as well into the pros. And so, Pat, welcome to the episode.
Thanks, Andy, for having me.
Absolutely. It's great having you on the show. And Pat, we're going to jump into football and the leadership lessons that you've learned there. But give everybody just a quick rundown bio of who you are. I just mentioned real quickly you were at Sanderson, then NC State in the pros. But walk us through that a little bit.
Well, you know, you did a good job introducing me. I don't have much more to add to it, except, you know, sports have been a part of my life from day one. And it's been a language that God has used in my own life to teach me realities that transcend the game and into living a life as a father, a husband, a businessman, a minister, and just being a son, you know, in a family, and, you know, so on and so forth, a brother in Christ in the body. So I'm really, really thankful for my experiences on the football field and also, basketball, track, baseball, anything I get my hands on. Because I loved, you know, being physical. And so God used that, and I'm thankful for that.
So what position did you play in high school? Or positions, maybe?
I played linebacker, tailback, punter, and kicker.
You had to be the biggest punter and kicker on the field, I'd imagine.
I was one of the biggest.
Yes. Yeah. I don't imagine that people would mess with you the way they mess with modern punters and kickers if they saw a linebacker or tailback also punting the ball.
Well, they still come after it, but they know I'm going to be the next player coming after them. So, that's right. You know.
So do you cheer for the kickers and punters when they're up there on the field, or is your mindset, you know, everybody turns on the kickers and punters?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they
yeah.
turn quickly on them, right? So a bad kick or a bad punt and all of a sudden, do you have a sweet spot for them, or are you in the bandwagon like, come on, guys, you got one job?
Yeah, when it's just that one job. See, I had multiple jobs, you know, but when you just have that one thing, and you're over there playing cards, you know, while the rest of us are studying our playbook.
I know, right?
And sometimes, like, all right, are you really prepared? Are you doing your thing?
Yeah.
And there's some I have a lot of respect for, and I know they're very tuned in. And other ones, you're like, am I entrusting, you know, this game to this guy? But they're made differently, and appreciate that. So I was a technician. So engineering background, I loved the whole art of kicking and punting. Mm-hmm. It was an art to me. I loved it from that perspective. Yeah.
So you played high school football and all those positions, and you got recruited by NC State.
I did.
Wolfpack Nation.
Yes, sir. And I, along with some other schools, and that one kind of rose to the top.
Yeah. What were your top couple schools that you were looking at, or they were looking at you?
They're mainly ACC schools, a few SECs, Clemson and Tennessee.
Okay.
Wake Forest.
Yep.
Duke and that other school, Carolina.
Oh yeah.
And, and of course, the Wolfpack. Yeah, you got to be careful with that stuff.
So why did you choose NC State?
Oh, that's a great question, because I was really searching, and I remember coming to my dad about it. Uh-huh. And I was like, God, where should I go, Dad? Where should I go? And he said something to me. He said, son, it's your life.
Hmm.
And that hit me really hard. He's like, I don't want to tell you where I want you to go.
Yeah.
But it's your life. And it just kind of emphasized it. And then my mom said, you know, this is a great opportunity for you to hear from God.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it is. That's kind of exciting. Here, it's going to determine the next 4 years of my life, but also set a course.
Right.
So I felt the weight of it, and I sought out good counsel.
Yeah.
And got good counsel. but really came down to really getting on my knees and having confidence God would answer me.
Yeah.
And he did in a big way.
Yeah. Well, and it seemed like it paid off really well for you too.
It really did. Yeah. And what was crazy was, it was also one of the more volatile times and seasons with NC State football. Mm. I had three different head coaches.
Oh, wow.
I had a different defensive coordinator every year.
Yeah.
But in the process, my father passed away and my mom needed me nearby.
Yeah.
So it really confirmed, because part of his confirmation for me to go to state was there was that little small voice saying, your mother's going to need you.
Wow.
And I'm like, why is she going to need me? Because, I mean, my dad was a hard worker. So I thought, well, maybe he was going to get a new job or promotion that she was going to need a little more help around the house or something.
Right.
But he brought it to mind when my dad passed away of that little small, still voice that speaks in the background.
Mm-hmm. So walk through that process going from high school to college. So this podcast gears towards a little bit of leadership and how leadership really functions and the way that we were kind of trained and ingrained with leadership. So what are a few things that you learned right away leaving high school, going into college football?
There was no coasting.
Oh, okay.
Not
so explain that.
Coast.
Explain that.
Sometimes you can just rest on your talent.
Right.
Whereas everybody there is talented. And so realize the importance of diligently practicing my disciplines, which is major cornerstones in our ministry. Yeah. And that was little did I know that he was preparing me with life lessons that would be transcendent of the game. But that I've got, I was overwhelmed, actually got on my knees in my dorm room. Hmm. And I'm like, God, how do I handle this? Everybody's an All-American. Yeah. I thought I was coming in here as an All-American.
Right. Yeah. Cause you're coming out of high school where you're a big deal, right?
I was thinking,
I get recruited and now all of a sudden you're in a, and how many players are on the D1 squad that they keep?
They keep travel typically about 65 to 70 players.
Yeah. And you have all of them are scholarships, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Most of them are. You have preferred walk-ons and you have guys that are really wanting to make
the
squad.
But they're all good.
They're all good. They were all, you know, there are other ones. Yeah. I was, you know, all Americans and, you know, my roommate was 6'2", 275, bench 500.
Wow.
His best friend was, senior year was, right, as the strongest offensive lineman in the nation, benching 600. And I had to hit those guys every day. And I remember getting on my knees one night and saying, God, how will I ever play a snap for NC State?
Right.
And he showed me Proverbs 12:1 and 12:27, where he said, you know, he who loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who does not listen is stupid. I'm like, all right, I want to be coachable.
That's right.
And I needed to be – and discipline had a new meaning to me, was that was knowledge in my area of expertise and practice it in Matthew. And then that was really key out of Proverbs 12:27, where it said a lazy man will never roast his prey.
Yep.
But the diligent, precious possession of a man is diligence. Mm-hmm. And so I needed to get to work and be the hardest working guy. If I might not be the most talented or the biggest or fastest, but if I would be the guy working the hardest at my disciplines, that I would be that last man standing.
Yeah, what a great lesson to learn early on. To work hard pays off.
Work hard paying off.
So you go to NC State, you're redshirted your freshman year, and then you're picked up into the pros. So one of the things I'm always fascinated about, I mean, that's such a small percentage of people who even get a chance to go to the pros. What was that? I mean, just talk about what that's like.
I was very fortunate to have good people around me that encouraged me. I remember a guy named Tim Winslow. He's a PE teacher at NC State, and he had studied the science of body kinetics.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And so I was needing to improve all my areas, you know, get my times down. And he was so positive. I appreciate him just speaking into my life at that moment, because he said, you know, we both know that 0.1% make the pros.
Yeah.
He said, but you're that 0.1.
Wow.
And you prepare like the 0.1. And it reminds me back to an old high school coach when I was wanting to play college football and I was a sophomore and, you know, and dreaming of that day maybe coming my way. And we were kind of messing around in the weight room, and he looked at me with an intensity level only a coach can look at you. And he said, what you want to do? You know, and I said, I want to play college football. And he goes, well, where do you want to play? And, you know, and I mentioned this different schools like State and Clemson. Right. And he said, then you need to start acting like a college athlete now.
That's good.
Start now.
Man, that's good.
And I looked at it. It was like I looked at the coach And I turned to the weight room and I looked at the weight room completely different. Yeah. He said, you need to study like a college athlete. You need to work like a college athlete. You need to be a college athlete now.
Yeah.
And it changed my whole perspective.
Wow. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
What a great mentality shift. Mm-hmm. So talk about that. How much of the game is absolutely mental?
There's a large part of it is mental. It really is.
I can imagine that.
It really is. It is a large, like a big chess game when you really study it and mm-hmm. all the moving parts. But then you got to believe that you're the man to make the play.
Mm-hmm.
That every play counts on your position and what you're going to do. And that's where literally no coasting in high school. You could, if the ball went away from you, you could kind of coast.
Yeah.
But man, you had an eye in the sky looking at you all the time. And literally, I remember kind of not pursuing to the ball real quickly. Pete Carroll was our defensive coordinator my first year.
Was he really?
He was. And here I was, Mr. High School All-American, and I wasn't running to the football. The running back cut back to my responsibility, and I wasn't in position to make the play.
Right.
And so he comes running over and goes, "Oh, Teague, where were you? What were you doing?" And he even made you laugh when he was rebuking you. You know, he just had that way about him.
Man. So you go into the pros. So mm-hmm. talk about what is the process to go from college? Or what was your process to go from the college mm-hmm. to the pros? So obviously you're working hard, you're mm-hmm. doing all this stuff. But then how did that whole – was it your senior mm-hmm. year? So after you graduated, you went to the pros? Is that what it was?
It was. We had a – first-round potential draft choice and a wide receiver. His name was Haywood Jeffries.
Okay.
So that meant every single pro team was going to come run him, but they would invite any seniors to run along with him.
Oh, okay.
And so you had to take advantage of those moments and always be on top of your game because the weightlifting strength coach would have the contact with him. And this was before all the multimedia stuff.
Sure. Yeah.
So he always would let us know when a pro day was coming.
Right.
When here comes Dallas Cowboys and the Washington Redskins are coming this day and they're coming this day or this time. If you want to come run, be ready.
Wow.
And at the same time, I was taking a lot of school hours because I wanted to graduate. Mm-hmm. And by the grace of God, it would always work out where I can make those times. And I ran for like 26 different teams.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Now, what do you mean run? Just pure. I mean, are you literally meaning you're just running? They're just timing you and doing different
motions? You're doing
motions.
40s, okay. Shuttles. Gotcha. You do a vertical jump.
Okay.
And then they weren't doing as many drills as they do now.
Sure.
But there was basic drills they were already doing.
Yeah.
The 20, the 40, the shuttle run, vertical jump. They would see how you did on the bench and just footwork.
Gotcha.
They would do different drills where they throw the ball at you. And of course, so since they were running him, it always worked out well. So whoever was there, they would say, you can do some things for me. And
nice.
So that was very, very, I was very fortunate.
Yeah. So coming out of college, let's talk about your pro journey. Who did you end up with out of college?
I ended up going with Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Bay Buccaneers.
But on draft day, I was being told that it was several teams by my agent that I was going to be drafted.
What were some of the other teams?
There was the Washington Redskins, and at the time it was Houston Oilers.
Oh, okay.
So those three were really looking for.
Yeah.
They showed a lot of interest.
So what is going through your mind as draft day is approaching and happening? What's happening inside of your mind and just that waiting?
It's a lot of nervous energy. I washed my car 6 times that day, and this is before cell phones. So
that's right.
So
that's
you're right there, right by the phone. I mean, literally had the phone out. You know, I
pulled the extension cord. You're home.
I'm at my home.
Kind of washing the car, staying busy,
watching the draft,
you know, and then you hear the phone ring.
Oh, jumping on the phone. Nobody's got to. I mean, nobody at the house was. Nobody could mess with the phone all day long.
Yeah.
And so, and nobody wanted to. They were all, you know, my family was around and,
So what'd they say to you when you picked up the phone? What was that conversation?
My agent. It was
your
agent.
Okay.
So because I would be calling my agent on the hour. Okay. What's going on? They're like, and on the day of the draft day, I ended up not getting drafted because there became a huge battle for another position.
Uh-huh.
There was a lot of linebackers in the draft that year. So there was a lot of battle for, they were low on running backs and wide receivers. So
right.
There was a lot of jockeying around for that.
Sure.
So I'm just sitting there, what's going on? What's going on? Why didn't they? And so then so it was about midnight and he said, yeah. I got a plane ticket for you.
Okay.
And you got to fly to Tampa, Florida, because Tampa wants you to do a workout with you.
Yeah.
And then from there, I'm going to fly you to Houston.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And so I got up. I was at the airport at 5 a.m.
So the next day after that, you're at the airport.
I was at the airport and there was 150 athletes at Tampa.
Wow.
Along with the draft choices.
Yeah.
And we were all doing a camp.
Gotcha.
And then they would pick out of those the free agents they would want to come back.
Right.
And be there. And so
So how long was that process of you down in Tampa before you finally made the team there?
That day we were doing 7-on-7 drills.
Yeah.
And I had intercepted Vinny Testaverde and ran it for a touchdown.
Nice.
And that's how I got a call into the office.
Hey, all right.
For my free agent offer. But my agent said, don't sign yet because Houston wants you to fly out right now.
Wow. So did you go out to Houston as well?
So I went out to Houston.
Really?
And just got on the plane from there mm-hmm. and flew out there and did a workout for them. And then they offered me a contract.
So who was the quarterback at Houston at the time?
Oh, wow. That's a good question. I don't even remember who was there.
It's not Moon, was it?
It was right before Warren Moon. It was Warren Moon.
Was it Warren Moon?
It was Warren Moon because my buddy Haywood Jeffries.
Yeah, is that where he ended up?
He ended up there. And part of the reason they wanted me there was to kind of keep him in line since I was the captain of the team. And he was fine without me, but that was their kind of, can you come? And I realized I didn't want to have my career as a babysitter.
Yeah. So you were captain while you were at NC State?
Yes, sir.
Awesome. Yeah. Very good. So you're now officially on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Mm-hmm. And so what's that like your first time out there with the team? Like you're now on the team. This is the mm-hmm. team. What's that like?
You're kind of trying to hide the fact that you're freaking out inside, that you're hanging out with these guys that you've been watching on TV.
Yeah. You're watching these guys uh-huh. and to some, not that you're idolizing them, but mm-hmm. you're watching these guys mm-hmm. and now you're on the field with them. So who else was on that team? Do you remember?
That year there was several all pros that James Wilder was the running back. Scott Brantley was a linebacker out of University of Florida.
Yeah.
And Jeff Davis from the University of Clemson, who had a national championship under his name.
Yeah.
And he was the ACC Player of the Year. And he ended up being a great, godly man, just a cool guy.
Yeah.
And just love being mentored by him in some mm-hmm. sense of the word. And now he is the chaplain there at Clemson University.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. So you ended up going from Tampa Bay to another team, right?
A couple of years. And then I got released by Tampa and I was working out in the weight room and the scout that really liked me from Tampa was now working for the Browns and he saw me in the weight room working out.
Yeah.
And he's like, why aren't you down in Tampa? I thought you were there. And I said, well, I got released. And then they said, hey, we need some linebackers at Browns and we're in the playoffs right now and we might need you. And I said, well, when's my plane leave?
Yeah.
I'm ready to go. He said, I can tell, you know, you're in here working out. So even in your off seasons, that's something I learned was to be working out and always developing your skills, whatever skills you have, that you don't want to, you want to keep working on them and keep developing them.
So wait a second. The Browns were in the playoffs at some point.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Can you believe it?
I know.
This is when Marty Schottenheimer was the head coach. Yep. Yeah.
So, you know, football, just like most sports, it is just as much as what you learn during the losing as the winning, right?
That's correct.
So you have the highs of going from Sanderson High School, you got these schools looking at you, go to NC State, captain NC mm-hmm. State, you know, you'll work out, you're working hard, you can make the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. What was that conversation like to get released though?
It was devastating.
Yeah,
because it's your dream.
How'd you handle that? What were you processing during that time? I can imagine. First of all, how'd they tell you? Well, is it just come to the coach's office?
They knock on your door and say, "Bring your playbook."
Yeah,
and a coach wants to see you.
Oh wow!
And so when you hear those words, you know that's what that means, because you can't walk anywhere out your playbook,
right?
Out of the door, and so that means they want your playbook. That means you're not on the team anymore.
Oh, man.
But something that happened to me in college was very helpful. That same freshman year, I got redshirted. The Lord really spoke to my heart to use football.
Yeah.
And don't let football use you.
Yeah.
And so that it'd be a part of your life, not your whole life.
Yeah.
It's a gift. It's a tool. a parable that's always meant a lot to me is the one with about the talents, you know, the 5, 2, and 1, mm-hmm. and never bury one in the ground, but develop it to its fullest. So that was a talent, but it was one of other talents that he wanted me to develop. So I should take it to the fullest, but that doesn't mean that it rules my life.
Yeah.
And so that was very helpful, even though when it was time to say goodbye to the sport, it was like cutting my right arm off. Mm-hmm. At least it wasn't my identity. It still had a big blow to your ego and the feelings of rejection and that you're no longer needed or no longer useful in their eyes.
Yeah.
Yet in God's team, you're always a starter. He's always got a place for you, and he divinely built you and made you to do certain things.
So fast forward to your last moment in the NFL.
Oh, man.
So how was that departure? What finally made you say, this is it, I'm done?
I was up in Cleveland Browns getting ready for camp, and I had felt something happen to my calf. I wasn't sure what it was.
Okay. Yeah.
And then when they checked it out, they said that I tore it. And so the next day I got my walking papers, you know, asked for the playbook.
Wow.
And so that, so I had a long 12-hour trip back.
Yeah.
I was driving down to my soon to be fiance, now my wife,
right.
Sheila. But that trip was a long way, a lot of rain. So it was kind of fitting. But as I was going back, I was thinking, all right, God, you've taught me a lesson of determination, which is another winning play for life that you've taught me along the way. Proverbs 30:30, be like a mighty lion to retreat for no reason.
Right.
And so, all right, this is a setback. Where do you want me to go from here?
Yeah.
And the Lord was like, this is it. And I'm like, wait a minute. How is this it? Because you told me never to give up. Mm-hmm. I got a coach at the Minnesota Vikings that said I could call him anytime. My coach from Tampa has a connection for me in the Canadian League. What's going on? And then God gave me a glimpse of what life would be.
Right.
I would make it, but I'd be alone.
Yeah.
And he brought the scripture, what profits a man to gain the world but lose his soul?
Absolutely. And let me stop you there.
Yeah.
That verse there. Mm-hmm. How often do you see that happen in the NFL?
Oh, man, too many times.
Yeah,
too many
people, their identities wrapped up in it, mm-hmm. everything they have is wrapped up in their mm-hmm. sacrifice and everything and forfeiting their soul, right, their very soul. So you leave the NFL, and I want to be somewhat respectful of our time on the podcast. And I do want to give us time to talk about how you're used football and how you're using that now and the platform that God's given you now to really invest back into the sport. Right. So you mentioned this a few times, playbook for life. Mm-hmm. So now we're fast forwarding, you know, you meet the love of your life. You met her. Where'd you meet Sheila?
I met her at an FCA meeting, Fellowship of Christian Athletes in college.
College, right.
When I was home from my first year from Tampa, I was coming back to see friends, and God divinely set up an appointment for me, the love of my life night.
And so, how long have you guys been married?
Man, it's 1990, so we are going on 29 years,
and three amazing kids.
Three amazing kids, blessed my socks off, man.
So football career, you have a degree mm-hmm. in engineering, is that correct?
Uh-huh.
And so you did that for a while, right?
Still
do that.
Yeah, it's one of those talents he told me not to bury, so I'm not burying it. So it's
so you're a smart football player.
You know, that's debatable.
All right. So you're now here in the Raleigh area, of course, and you do a lot of great things in the community and in the church world. And unfortunately, we don't have time to go into every aspect. You got lots of things happening. But I want to talk about your playbook.
Yeah.
So tell me about this. You've written a playbook for life. Mm-hmm. Would you consider a devotional, or how would you classify
it? It's called Winning Place for Life. It's a how-to book.
How-to book.
It's how to take the what's intangible or hard to grasp using tangible examples to live it out. It's taking the spiritual lesson and applying it. You know, as an athlete, I wanted the coach to tell me what to do.
Right.
Tell me how to read. How to read this tackle or guard so I can make the play.
Yep.
And so it's kind of in that light of things of taking something that you can sink your teeth into to be able to transcend it to the other areas of your life and use them there.
Yeah.
And so.
So you want to go through it there real quickly? You want to name them real fast? You've mentioned a bunch of them already, but just going to list them out.
Direction and determination, mm-hmm. diligence and discipline, discernment and destiny. And then the final one is the diesel, mm-hmm. which we also call the Gracerade. Mm-hmm. You know, just like you have to have Gatorade to keep it going, know, physically, we have the Gracerade of God, because with the grace, you can keep up with the pace.
Yeah.
Without it, you're cramping up.
That's right. So what has opened up to you here in the last couple of years where you're able to do this and your ministry, your outreach? So talk a little bit about what you're doing with all of that components together.
Well, you know, it's been a crazy mixing bowl because for years I was an associate pastor in a church. Mm-hmm. And so that was part of, you know, getting the pastor's heart towards the body of Christ and my teammates. And then taking that game plan that he had revealed to me way back, starting back in middle school lessons to the pros, and being able to translate that into a simple playbook right. where a young man, young woman could take that and apply it to their athletic life, their academic, their personal relational life, to community. How do they run the plays?
Yeah.
How to live it out and have it in that language of sports to share the gospel of how to run that winning race for life through Christ. Because mm-hmm. everybody's in it to win it.
Right.
Nobody wants to lose to say, hey, one day I want to be addicted to drugs.
Right.
Exactly. You know, one day I want to beat my wife. One day I want to, you mm-hmm. know, live on the street as a homeless person.
Yeah.
No, that's not your goals.
Right.
So how do I help you get to your goals?
Yeah.
And with our generation, they're so fatherless mm-hmm. that the Heavenly Father is crying out and saying, I want to be your father.
That's right. So you've been able to do a lot of things with the area schools. So talk about what you do with schools.
Well, we play by their rules.
Of course.
As an athlete, you're going to play by their rules.
Yep.
And so to be a good athlete, you're going to do that. So we try to serve them to help them achieve their vision and goals of raising excellent citizens for leaders.
Yep.
And then from that, we also do to the complete student athlete. How do we equip them and encourage them with leadership training, which opens the door for them the opportunities that they can also pursue their lives, personal lives. And so that's been a great experience of seeing lives transformed and encouraged and built up. And so with Sports Missions Outreach, we have a leadership program in the schools. And then we have a ministry that we go around sharing the gospel at any venue that God provides that we can, you know, help a church run their race to win. What's been great is being a part of your church, Andy, is that it's been a wonderful place to, and a haven and just a huge launching pad for us, if you will, as a missionary to the sports community. And we've been local to global.
Yeah.
And seen
that. That's right. You've done. I think the last thing you did was down in Mexico, wasn't it?
That's right.
So why don't you talk about that? That was a pretty neat opportunity you all had there. So
it was. We went to Madero University to put on a football clinic. So we were mm-hmm. serving their football team.
Which is amazing because you really don't associate Mexico with American football.
It blew my
mind. You associate with soccer and baseball and other things, but you don't really.
That's
right. Yeah, they were hungry for it, though, weren't they?
They would loved it. They got a passion for it when the NFL played their first game there.
And now they play there every year.
Play every
year. At least
year.
They're supposed to, at least they're last year,
But the team we went to have been playing for the last 30 years.
They've had a football team for 30 years?
30 years, yeah.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. In the last 18, they had become a kind of one of the local powerhouses, as you would put it. But they the coach needed a seminar, and we served them. And then as we are sharing with them the X's and O's, we shared that it was more – you can use the game to raise boys into men. And the coach, he said he'd been coaching for 38 years and never looked at football in that way, and he prayed to see Christ.
That's awesome. And I think, did you have several players there too, right?
We did. We saw many teammates players come to Christ. And then the soccer team joined us one night.
Oh, really?
Yeah. One morning, I'm sorry. Yeah. And we saw over half the team pray to receive Christ.
Yeah.
And then the athletic director had to speak to their basketball teams. And we saw more of them come to know Christ. And the athletic director kind of indicated to us that he was really going in that direction.
Powerful.
So it was a move of God that we were very thankful that, you know, we got to see
experience.
Him move in amazing, amazing ways.
Hmm. All right. So people are listening to this podcast. How can they get more information about all that you're doing and currently doing? And how can somebody come alongside if they wanted to support it or be part of it?
You know, go to our website first, sportsmissionsoutreach.com has all our contact information.
Excellent.
Also the multiple plays and then how you can use that. You can start a Bible study in your local area, excellent, equipping your church, equipping your school, you know, to literally partnering. We partner with FCA, AIA, gotcha, all those. So we don't try to reinvent the wheel, but we come alongside and make it better.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, we will attach the web link to this podcast as well, so they'll be able to click on there. All right, Pat, this is the weekend of the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So do you get kind of antsy and excited and pumped up for Super Bowl weekend, or?
You know, it you know, sometimes I do.
That's right.
I do sometimes, but I get more pumped when I see a great play.
Yeah.
It just, I mean, at any level, I love to see, you know, a young man light up the field with a good hit, you know, and
there's something about just a good hit that.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. So what's your prediction? You got the Rams. It's the Rams and the Patriots. What's your prediction on this one?
If the Rams can get to Brady and make him run and throw on the run, Rams win.
Okay.
If they do not
get to
Brady, he's legendary. He's just legendary.
So who do you want to win?
I want the Rams to win.
I think I'm gonna go out on a limb and say everybody in the United States, except for the people in New England, want the Rams to win.
I think you might be
the Patriots are so good. They're just so good.
I know. They're the team to beat.
What did you think about the playoffs? That was an interesting playoffs,
Great playoffs. And there was a lot of life lessons in there that you can literally see and use.
Yeah.
Like the Chiefs are not in the Super Bowl because a defensive lineman lined up in the neutral zone, which you learn in elementary school.
Yeah.
So it's those little things that you overlook. That can literally cost you. It was a little play, but a big consequence at the most worst opportune moment when your team just got the ball to sit on it and win the game.
Yeah. You got the chance to knock Brady out of it.
Exactly.
You can't give him another shot. You give him another shot and that's it.
It was over.
And then what'd you think about that call? The Rams
terrible call. They've been playing two hand touch all season long.
Man.
And all of a sudden you can call three different penalties.
Yep.
And you didn't call one of them.
Yeah.
And that was a tough pill to swallow.
That was a little tough. I mean, you know, you try not to say that one play or one penalty because it's a culmination of the entire game. But, man, come on. I mean, when you're in that point of the game and something happens like that.
Well, you know, I had a legendary college coach, Dick Sheridan, and we had lost a game, you know, in the Peach Bowl by a controversial call. It's very similar. Uh-huh. In fact, there was they called a pass interference when it wasn't one and put him in field goal range.
Oh, man.
And what he said to us after the game was so critical. He said, you know, we know it was a bad call, but we should have never been in a position in which a team could steal a game from us.
Yep.
So we got to take responsibility of where other places in the game we could have been up by more than 2 points.
Yeah.
And
that's a life lesson. It's hard to get over that, those plays though.
Oh, it still sticks in my craw, man. It still sticks in there.
Just that one play.
Yeah.
Well, hey, I hope you've enjoyed this podcast with Pat Teague. And Pat, thank you so much for being on here. We love your ministry. We love the ministry God's given you, and your platform that you have is a unique one, you know, and it's so good to see an athlete, high school, college, pro athlete turn around and use those gifts and talents back into the community they live. So thank you for doing that. We've been praying that God keeps blessing it. And I know you got way more stories that we have time for to
Well, we'll come back doing some more stories.
We will.
Talk about
we
some
will.
More.
And, That'd be good.
And I want to thank you for allowing Sports Missions Outreach to be at your church and love the accountability I have with the missions of Doug Gamble. And you're a kingdom-building church, and it's just a privilege to see God's kingdom come and will be done here in Raleigh, Durham Chapel Hill area, and to the world.
That's right. Including Carolina.
We have to include Carolina too.
Including Carolina. That's right. Well, Pat, I appreciate that. And so listen, I hope this podcast has added value to you and helping you reach your potential to find your purpose and to live with passion. And once again, we will put the show notes here along with the link to get a hold of Pat Teague and his ministry. And other than that, have a great rest of your day. Until next time.